Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. There was a time when church schools were a place where their supporting denominations could safely teach the doctrines and principles particular to that faith and not have to instruct students in what they considered to be biblical error. Creation versus evolution is a good example. But this whole concept of freedom to teach is coming under pressure from a powerful source. Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, is here to explain. Lincoln, what's going on?
This is not a unique situation to any particular church. And even the Seventh-day Adventist Church a few months ago faced a serious conflict within one of our universities where in a science class they were teaching evolution, which I thought was great.
Yes.
We should teach it to young people. They need to be aware of it. But they were teaching it in a way that was antagonistic to biblical faith, which the church holds. And it's one of the major reasons we have religious educational institutions. So there was a huge conflict about this, and I can't even say that it's been totally resolved, but it brought to the fore to Seventh-day Adventists there could be a major problem anymore with teaching what the church stands for, because these teachers use the power of law to sue the church and to try to not only hold their positions, but to force the church to agree to this. And they tried to manipulate even the accreditation process to bring pressure to bear. What I want to talk about today, though, is on a much bigger scale. In San Francisco, Cardinal Cordeleone, the archbishop there, really put the cat among the pigeons when he put out an official statement directed at Catholic schools, but it was given publicly, saying that the teachers and the curriculum in those schools needs to support and reflect the standards of the Roman Catholic Church. It seems sort of common sense to me, but in today's climate, that was incendiary, because, of course, in San Francisco, the Catholic Church couldn't have chosen a more unfriendly environment for this sort of statement. It was well recognized that, in particular, he's expecting the church to maintain its views on the morality or otherwise of the homosexual lifestyle and so on. And that's how it was seen, and the howl of protest went up. Curiously enough, but I don't disbelieve it in view of what happened at our own Seventh-day Adventist institution, at this point, four-fifths of the faculty and staff of the four high schools under the jurisdiction of the San Francisco Archbishop have signed a petition, and I'm actually reading their own Catholic Reporter website, have signed a petition asking him to forego his announced insertion into their handbooks of this new call to orthodoxy. I mean, that's my addition.
Right.
So it's not just the pressure brought to bear from society through legal mandates. There's not just a church-state challenge. There's an internal challenge. And this is what, unfortunately, our church found with their own institution. Those teachers and some of their supporters within the system really reacted vigorously. And that's to be expected in some ways, because human beings don't think uniformly, and within any ideologically organized group, there are always a few that think differently and a few that might, given half a chance, as Benedict Arnold did in the War of Independence, might trade sides, but they happen to be there right now. But where it's very bad, of course, that to the opposition, in this case, the government standards and the governance in San Francisco, they see, you know, the church doesn't really mean it, or they're not speaking with one voice. So we'll redouble our efforts to enforce their compliance with, you know, general views on supporting gay activity.
Now, is the whole idea of religion is to make a group of people think uniformly? Is that the idea?
Well, and man, you're very good today.
Well, thank you.
That is a very valid and pertinent way of looking at this. the Roman Catholic Church, unfortunately, in the past, answered that in the negative. They used to have the Inquisition, where within the church, and they claimed a pretty broad spectrum of authority on who was a church member. You know, if you differed, you could lose your life even. Okay. Religion is something that should be entered into a religious organization and membership. It should be a matter of free will. Certainly Jesus put it all on the level of free will. You need to answer the appeal of God, to sort your life out and to worship him and to get the fulfillment that comes with that. And yes, I wouldn't be comfortable if in this day and age the church got physical with its members. It's probably also a testament to the collapse of the uniformity of belief that the Catholic Church once claimed to have. Yes. And I know the lawyers often tell me to realize that within a church, differences and even harsh treatment of people is not in itself a legal matter of religious persecution, because it's a free association. You know, you can leave that church if they harass you in the local church, as Jesus told his disciples. You know, if you have problems, shake off the dust off your shoes and go elsewhere.
Right.
But here, this inside dissension is empowering the outside political forces to perhaps force the church organization into a compromise. So it's a very dynamic situation. And I believe, as well as some others working with religious liberty, that there's a lot at stake here, not just for the Catholic Church, because if the state can require church schools to compromise, in this case in regard to gay marriage, but there's many other, on gay lifestyle, there's many other issues. If they can require the church to lower its standard or remove its standard just because the state differs from them, basically church school education as we know it will cease to be. Part of this too is not just what the teachers teach, but who are the teachers? Do they need to be Roman Catholic? Do they need to be Seventh-day Adventist in a Seventh-day Adventist school? Churches would say so, but very quickly that dissipates if this argument is lost.
And you're saying that if there is dissension among the ranks within a church, that weakens the church so that it is more open to attacks from the government saying, hey, look, you guys don't even know what you want to do here, so we're gonna make the decision for you. Is that what I hear you saying?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's not the real issue at hand, but that harms the integrity of the stand that this church has taken. There's no question. And you could write that across the board. All other churches that have institutions now no longer have this uniformity of belief even within their own organization.
You know, Lincoln, I have in my hand right here, while you were talking, I reached down and got it from my little library here that I use when I write, the Seventh-day Adventists Believe. And I'm, if I become a Seventh-day Adventist, I have this book and I can look through here and say, oh, this is what Seventh-day Adventists believe. But it just seems that today people are coming into the Seventh-day Adventist Church or the Catholic Church, whatever church, and saying, okay, you may say that, but I have these other beliefs, and not only should I be allowed to believe the way I want to believe, you've got to change how you operate, church. You have to change your doctrines to meet my needs and my doctrines. That seems to be what's going on, and that is absolutely weakening every church across the board.
Absolutely. Of course, there's always several things at play, but I think the Roman Catholic Church, in this case, and Seventh Adventist Church, in the case of reading the fundamentals, are not inculcating their beliefs into their adherents as they once were.
Yes.
And it's got to be shocking for, say, a Seventh-day Adventist who's been in the church for 15 years to casually read some of the points that they adhere to.
Yeah. I didn't know that, they'd say.
And as a point of morality or of personal integrity, I wouldn't want them to necessarily advance something that they don't know or understand or adhere to. But it's reasonable that an organization stand for something.
Yes.
What's being forgotten in all of this, and it is still a principle of accommodation in law, it shouldn't be necessary to say that your church believes this. To be accommodated, it should be necessary that this is a deeply held conviction that you have.
Ah,
people are forgetting that.
Yes, yes.
It just happens that this is a conviction that's corporately presented.
You've mentioned this in court cases. That is the more powerful argument. I believe this as opposed to my church is telling me this.
It's not legally necessary that every church member buy into what, in this case, the cardinal holds as a conviction and the organizers or the the sponsors of these schools do, but as a matter of tactics and public relations, dissonance within the group really weakens their stance.
It may seem strange that Seventh-day Adventists is supporting the Catholic Church here on this, but I'm saying if these Catholics who are not agreeing with the bishop, they should leave. They should not call themselves Catholic because the Catholics have a certain set of standards, and this is the bishop brought that out. If you don't agree, don't argue. Leave. Pack. Put your key in the car and go.
Right, and it's even more clearly drawn if you look at it as a matter of employment.
Yes.
These people are employed by an organization that happens to be religious, but the organization stands for this. It's formed the church school for this, and if you don't agree with it, you're right. You shouldn't be there. But this is the age, as the Bible says, that everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes. So there's not great respect. And unfortunately, this infighting and as well as the social revisionism of our society, which once didn't endorse this lifestyle, there's no question that there's been a huge shift in society. Where this will go, I really don't know, but I do agree with some of my fellow religious liberty workers that if this is not checked, it could be the end of church schools as we know them. Because while they could function just as a school per se, their original purpose to inculcate the particular values of that religious group could be so dissipated there's no point in having them. I think the Roman Catholic schools have had a great PR advantage for years because people have imagined that these were public service institutions that you could attend there and just get a good education. They were designed to create good Catholics.
Yes, yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that, just as Seventh-day Adventist schools, while anybody could register, they are designed to educate good Seventh-day Adventist Christians.
Exactly, exactly.
And if that's not possible by being forced to hire people who are not only not church members but don't in any particular way ascribe to the principles set forth by that organization, it quickly becomes something else.
What I hear you saying, then, is the best way for a church member to keep religious liberty alive, to keep that church-state separation separate, is to internalize for themselves the beliefs of their church. If they don't internalize the beliefs of the church, don't be a member of the church, because if we start fighting against our own church, we're opening the door for the government to come in and finish the job for us. Am I on the right track?
That's true.
Yeah.
I think internalization is the key to all of this. You don't just want political stances from church people. You don't want an agenda. You want people that are exemplifying the very principles church is founded on. And a school has been one of the ways to accomplish that. I mean, it can't force spirituality, but it can engender a context that encourages it. Well, if that context is now itself under threat, we've got a serious problem.
All right, very good. Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, thanks for sharing with us today.
My pleasure.
And until next time, listener, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.